It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
Question: what could be more important to our lives than the very air we inhale with every breath we take? This report headline was published yesterday from numerous sources. Quote, billions of air pollution particles found in the hearts of city dwellers. From this report, exclusive study shows associated damage to critical pumping muscles, i.e. hearts, even in children. Also from the report, the scientists said the abundance of the nanoparticles, remember that term, nanoparticles, might represent a serious public health concern, and that the particle air pollution must be reduced urgently. Might. Think about that statement in a headline this dire, that billions of toxic particles lodging in our hearts might present a health concern. Academia has betrayed the human race in the entire web of life, and they continue to help to hide countless crimes of the power structure, the military-industrial complex, and the medical-industrial complex, and the complacency of the majority of populations is facilitating these crimes. It must change. It must change. One final statement from the report. In 2016, other studies showed that the same nanoparticulates were present in human brains and were associated with Alzheimer's-like damage, another disease linked to air pollution. What has GeoengineeringWatch.org stated for over a decade? That countless tests from around the globe, including 70-plus in Northern California, revealed that highly toxic elements are coming down through our air column. Those elements match climate engineering patents exactly, starting with aluminum. Air quality testing, by design, fails to detect these particulates because they are nanoparticulates. Air quality testing tests for PM10 or PM2.5, 10 micron or 2.5 microns. Those particles are unimaginably larger than nanoparticulates, which go completely undetected, completely under the radar by design. Those in power do not want these particles detected, but they are showing up everywhere, including our hearts and our brains, wreaking havoc on human health, wreaking havoc in the environment. So again, I will ask this question. What could be more essential to our very existence than the air we breathe? Consider this quote from one of the wisest to walk among us. Humankind has not woven the web of life. We are but one thread within it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. All things are bound together. All things connect. That is from Chief Seattle. Consider this quote as well. Things which matter most must never be at the mercy of things which matter least. Again, what are our priorities? If it is not protecting the very air we breathe, then we are missing the point. That last quote was from Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. Another question. Which challenges or threats most justify our attention, our focus, and our efforts to correct and to set right? Is it the never-ending and completely orchestrated political theater of mass distraction? Or are Earth's completely collapsing life support systems a more rational priority? Abrupt climate collapse is being further fueled and manipulated by highly toxic climate engineering operations, aka weather warfare, that are contaminating every breath we take. The unfolding catastrophe along the Gulf Coast of the U.S. is just a single example of scenarios that are playing out all over the globe. The climate engineering weather warfare insanity is a core part of the equation. Much more on this in this broadcast. Please stay tuned. Those that are already fully engaged in the epic battle for the greater good, my deepest gratitude to you. Let us continue with our collective efforts to wake the masses and turn the tide. Again, dire breaking headlines in a moment. This is Dane Wigginton. You're listening to the Global Alert News Hour, episode number 205, July 13th, 2019. News most don't want to hear, but that we must face if we're to have any chance of changing course. This commercial-free frontline news broadcast is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org and paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This news hour is broadcast throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM, Saturday mornings from 6 a.m. to 7, Sunday mornings, same time slot. On the East Coast, rebroadcast by the PRN Radio Network, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Recordings of this broadcast can be found at geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent top stories and radio sections. The latest geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials can be ordered from the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for our approximate cost of producing and shipping. Our only goal is to get them into circulation as fast as possible. Another way to help us sound the alarm is to attend Gem Faire events, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E. Jim Fair has been and is an extremely dedicated ally in the fight to expose and halt climate engineering. Visit the geoengineeringwatch.org informational booth at Jim Fair events. Get free geoengineeringwatch.org awareness-raising materials that are specifically designed with images and data that is effective at waking others. Help us in the critical battle to wake the masses. Visit the Jim Fair site, again, G-E-M-F-A-I-R-E. Their homepage states where upcoming events will be staged. This week started yesterday and tomorrow, Portland, Oregon, Oregon Convention Center. Next week, San Rafael, California, July 19th through July 21st at the Marin Center Exhibit Hall. Our thanks to Jim Fair for their help with the critical fight to expose and halt climate engineering. Those who are not helping, more censorship. Facebook has removed the like button from our Geoengineering Watch Facebook page, so no one can even like our Geoengineering Watch Facebook page. For the last month, this has been going on. We've complained to Facebook, no response, of course. The censorship is becoming near total on social media, from Google's total deletion of the geoengineeringwatch.org website under a search for the geoengineering term. Again, if you search the geoengineeringwatch.org exact website title, you can find our page, but we were top of the page for geoengineering search itself. Now we are gone from 20 pages. Thanks to Bing, DuckDuckGo, we're still top of the page there as our rankings dictate. It's a matter of rankings. But social media, again, on this issue, because it is so incredibly important regarding the entire big picture, regarding everything we face and so many challenges linked directly in one form or another, just like the air pollution situation, which I just covered. Climate engineering operations, the stated goal of dumping 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates into the skies annually. 20 million tons, stated on the record by geoengineering researcher, scientist David Keith, the world's most recognized geoengineer from Harvard. If you want to see an exchange with David Keith and myself, search Dane Wigginton, David Keith. Perhaps Google won't show it. I don't know. Bing, DuckDuckGo will. And you can see Dr. Keith stating on the record this goal of filling the sky with nanoparticulates that are showing up, guess where? Our brains and our hearts. And still we have a public that is not yet willing to face this issue. And again, that must change or we have no chance. I want to cover some headlines about the collapsing economy, which will follow the collapsing biosphere, and the desperation of the military-industrial complex, the pharmaceutical-industrial complex, and so forth. First headline, drug prices in 2019 are surging with hikes at five times the rate of inflation. Stocks drop as trade dims earnings outlook. Mexican peso tumbles. Morgan Stanley downgrades global stocks. Weak growth to Trump easier monetary policy. Printing money will not save us. That has been the policy thus far. It is a Ponzi scheme card house. It always was never sustainable. And we are all about to find out the hard way how completely suicidal the human race's course has been. Another headline, China announces seventh month of adding to gold reserves. Can't eat gold. The yellow metal is not going to be worth much when the most important thing is the next bite of food and the next drink of water and the next breath of air without being laden with aluminum nanoparticulates. Another headline, Poland joins Hungary with huge gold purchase and repatriation, trying to get their gold back. Again, as if that shiny yellow metal will save anyone from what's coming. How devastating has the human race been to the planet? And this is impossible to even begin to quantify. And it's fascinating to me, perplexing to me, how many still want to believe that everything that's happened and is happening is some sort of natural cycle. Even those who recognize climate engineering, recognize the damage it's doing, still, unfortunately, many trying to support the notion that there's nothing else wrong with the planet. And as I've stated so many times, the human race has been unimaginably poor stewards of this planet. I want to give a few figures just to indicate the kind of impact we are having. Not only are we going through 100 million barrels of oil a day, there's 39,000 planes in operation, there's 1.2 billion, a billion with a B, cars and trucks in operation, there's 200 million motorcycles in operation. This is just one small sample of what's happening on our planet every day. The human race has cut down the forests, poisoned the oceans, paved the planet. How could there not be consequences for all of this? The consequences have been manifesting, are now manifesting at blinding speed. Our current paradigm is disintegrating by the day. This will become impossible to hide soon. More headlines. Egypt detains tanker carrying Iranian oil. Yet another puppet nation of the Western powers being used to try to trigger global conflict in their target nation of Iran. Same will be true with Venezuela ongoing. Again, the nations with the most resources are the biggest targets. Another headline, Iran's, quote, misery index jumps as U.S. oil sanctions cripple economy. It's killing people there. For those who think sanctions are some sort of benign way of punishing a country for not conforming to the U.S. dictates, sanctions kill, period. Another headline, United Arab Emirates withdraws from Yemen. The pullback suggests that the United Arab Emirates is preparing for the possibility of a U.S. military confrontation with Iran, in which the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia could emerge as prime battlegrounds. It's coming. The power structure's final card to play is global conflict. As the proverb goes, when you're a hammer, i.e. the U.S. military, everything looks like a nail. Another headline, Bolton demands Iran abandoned the non-existent nuclear arms program. False flags, lies, deception. John Bolton, war criminal, should be in jail. Enough history to back up everything I'm stating for those who choose to investigate. Another headline, this one from multiple sources. Quote, we have 18 months to save the world, Prince Charles warns Commonwealth leaders. We don't have 18 months. We passed the point of no return perhaps two decades ago. Can we yet salvage anything of Earth life support systems? That remains to be seen. It will depend on what we each do, what we collectively do, or what we don't do. From news.com.au in Australia, this flock of over 50 native birds die after falling from the sky, bleeding from their eyes and beaks. A large flock of native birds has died after a mysterious illness caused them to fall from the sky. Think about that. Are we really to believe that? That some illness could strike them so instantaneously that they just fall from the sky? When will people start to exercise their sense of reason and challenge the so-called journalists that are permeated into the so-called mainstream media, which is nothing more than a tool of mass deception and distraction for the power structure, a criminal operation? That's what mainstream media is. Only the population can hold them accountable. It's up to us. From multiple sources, another example of headlines that our media doesn't tell us about. Radiation seeping out from a 30-year-old nuclear subwreck in the Norwegian Sea. High-level researchers found 800 BQ becquerels per liter. Typical levels for seawater in the Norwegian Sea should be around 0.001 BQ per liter. In other words, the radioactivity was 800,000 times normal. That's a bit high, isn't it? We're not being told. This sunken submarine is the tiniest of snapshots to consider what the military-industrial complex has done to the planet. Again, as I've reported in many previous broadcasts, U.S. military's single greatest single source polluter on the planet, single greatest single source consumer of fossil fuels on the planet, but all the military-industrial complex from every country has helped to wreak havoc on the planet. The military machine needs conflict, and they try to extend it as much and as long as they can. Here's a past example. Just how much does the military-industrial complex attempt to maximize the scope and duration of conflict and carnage? Again, let's wind the clock back to the Second World War and consider this new headline report from globalresearch.ca. Here's the headline, quote, Second World War could have ended in 1943 had Allied bombing focused on military-related targets. From that report, British and Allied forces from 1943, including the Americans, attacked densely populated areas, civilian populations, as I reported, just like the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombs, often avoiding armament hotspots. And this served to lengthen the Second World War by as much as 2 years. In Europe, Allied raids performed a central role in allowing the German war machine to roll on, largely undamaged. Think about that. Intentionally ensuring the conflict would continue by avoiding bombing Germany's military manufacturing and armament sites and focusing attacks on civilians. That's the history we're not told. We must always remember and consider the needless slaughter of countless civilians in, as I said, Nagasaki and Hiroshima by the U.S. atomic bombs. When history makes clear the Japanese were already going to surrender, obliterating civilian cities and all who lived there only went to show the world that the U.S. not only had atomic bombs, but would use them without hesitation on mass populations of civilians. Yet another chapter in history that is no longer taught or remembered and was never taught accurately to begin with. Moving on, how does the U.S. government treat its own homeland? Consider this report from the LA Times. The U.S. wants to dump 1.5 tons of rat poison on the Farallon Islands. Biologists say it's for the best. Were the best. Government biologists, I'm sure, just like Agent Orange was for the best for our comrades on the ground, just like detonating 650 nuclear bombs in Nevada, which killed 450,000 Americans eventually, was just for the best. When will the population rise up and face the fact our government is a criminal organization at this point? The population is not only expendable, but an increasing liability. To confirm that, I would cite the 2010 census in which every single doorstep was GPSed. Why? That's very handy for drone surveillance and or attacks. Why did U.S. agencies like Homeland Security purchase over 2 billion rounds of hollow point ammunition? Think about that. It's just for the best, the government would tell us. Who's that ammunition for? Back to the poison. The federal government contends that the only way to get rid of the mice on the Farallon Islands is to drop 1.5 tons of rat poison pellets from a helicopter onto the islands. But Bay Area conservationists are worried that the poison, an increasingly controversial rodenticide, will make its way up the food chain, killing other species. You think? Of course it will. Along that same theme, and follow me through with these dots, I want to point out some of the insane behavior of so-called civilization, and then we'll get to the bigger biosphere issues on which all of our futures depend. Along the same theme of the poisoning, from the LA Times, mountain lion dies of rat poison in the Santa Monica Mountains. Scientists think this mountain lion died by eating a smaller animal that was poisoned. The mountain lion had poison in him, the same type that they distributed. Obviously, that's what happened. Do we need a scientific panel to tell us this? And they always use the words could, may, might have died in this manner. Academia needs to start telling the whole truth and not playing the part that the power structure wants them to play by pacifying populations, by always downplaying what's happening. As horrific as the anticoagulant rat poisons are, I want to make a point that I'll move on again to the bigger picture, but this matters. It shows a state of society, a very decayed state of society. And as dangerous, again, as the anticoagulant rat poisons are, they have been replaced with a full EPA endorsement by something far worse, bromethalin, a hideous poison that causes a horrifically painful death of violent convulsions, neurological shutdown, and brain swelling. Bromethalin is stocked on store shelves everywhere. That is the form of rat poison now pushed on the public. There is no antidote, and it is nearly impossible to test for, and anyone can buy it. Welcome to the world of insania. That's where we live. Every other commercial on the power structure controlled so-called mainstream media is some form of an advertisement relating to the completely toxic world we are all now trapped in. Allergy commercials, asthma, COPD, and the endless other ailments, each with their own official sounding acronym. And then there are the ever-increasing Alzheimer's commercials. Again, went over that to some degree at the beginning of this broadcast. From the Alzheimer's Foundation, These commercials, fundraisers, Alzheimer's Foundation, an organization that exemplifies the total deception and outright lies that the medical industrial complex increasingly stands for. The Alzheimer's Foundation claims to be searching for a cure to this horrible disease, while at the very same time, the Alzheimer's Foundation is systematically suppressing any and all information on the scientifically proven core causal factor in the Alzheimer's disease scenario, aluminum. The same aluminum that's raining down through our air column, the same aluminum that tests have proven is there. The geoengineeringwatch.org has been trying to sound the alarm on for over 10 years. That the study I just covered at the beginning of this broadcast proved that billions, with a B, billions of nanoparticulates are showing up in the hearts and brains of human beings. These particles are so small, so that you understand how this works. They're so small that they immediately penetrate through the lung lining. They're inhaled through the nasal passages. They go straight into the bloodstream. They cross the blood-brain barrier. They're bioaccumulative. They're building up in our system. All of us, every one of us. Some have more resistance than others, but this is happening now. Again, how important is the air we breathe? When you look up and you see a trail from horizon to horizon that is not condensation, science data proves that. Film footage proves that. Lab tests from all over the globe prove climate engineering contamination is raining down through the air column. To be clear, science studies have long since also proven that without aluminum again in the equation, there would be no Alzheimer's disease in a human lifespan of 100 years. Though, of course, there has been considerable effort from so-called official sources to cast doubt on the Alzheimer's aluminum connection. Question, should this be any surprise, given the fact that there is documented historical involvement of the aluminum industry with the Alzheimer's Foundation? Consider that. Again, no surprise. And then there's the aluminum in vaccinations. The story of disease and death is the same, as are the ongoing official cover-ups. And then there's the radio frequency microwave transmission assault on human health and the web of life. That must also be considered. Many of the existing radio frequency microwave transmission towers and facilities are a core part of the climate engineering operations. The effect of these facilities on precipitation patterns and flows is easily seen on satellite imagery. More on that later in this broadcast, because that is a direct factor in the current impact of Barry on the Gulf Coast. GeoengineeringWatch.org is currently recording the satellite imagery, the effect of these radio frequency microwave transmissions on Barry. If you want to see this firsthand of previous recordings GeoengineeringWatch.org has captured, for example, in the case of Hurricane Harvey, search GeoengineeringWatch.org Hurricane Harvey. View the satellite imagery we have captured of the interaction of microwave transmissions and those storms. Decide for yourself. Moving on, from the UK Daily Mail and other sources, shocking footage shows thousands of bees vibrating on the ground before dying after 7.1 magnitude earthquake struck California. Footage shows some of the insects still alive, buzzing around frantically. Scientists have previously noted that animals and insects act strangely in the lead-up to an earthquake, but do not know why, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. While scientists know creatures are able to recognize earthquakes before humans, the mechanisms explain how and why it happened still eludes the scientists. Why? Because the scientists are part of the deception, because it provides a paycheck and pension to them. And they don't address issues like radio frequency microwave transmissions. I went over this to some degree in last week's broadcast. Massively powerful microwave transmissions that can be bounced off the atmosphere with the now electrically conductive and reflective atmosphere, because it's being sprayed with highly conductive metal particles, i.e. aluminum. These signals can be bounced off the atmosphere back down into the strata, and it has effect on every living thing. And when we have, for example, over the Fukushima epicenter, the Japan earthquake in 2011, the epicenter, MIT, recording extremely anomalous atmospheric heating 3 days prior to the quake, when will scientists band together, step up, and start telling the truth that our atmosphere is being bombarded with unimaginably powerful radio frequency transmissions? It's not just 5G in the ground. There is layer upon layer of insanity in this equation. As methane builds up in the upper atmosphere, there's Project Lucy and Project Alamo, the attempt to bombard the atmosphere with opposing frequencies to try to degrade some of that methane, again, with no consideration of the consequences. So when we have birds falling from the sky, bees falling on the ground, a planet that's being completely bombarded with radio frequency microwave transmissions, is it any wonder that things are dying? Any wonder at all? From many causes, I'm not blaming everything on RF microwave. We're completely toxifying our planet. On that note, about the bees, more efforts by our so-called government to hide the unfolding pollinator apocalypse. This new report is from CNN and other sources. Honeybees hit by Trump budget cuts. Again, Trump, just a puppet in the play, like Obama, like Clinton, like Bush, like the rest. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has suspended data collection for its annual honeybee colonies report, citing cost cuts. Because we need more aircraft carriers, apparently. A move that robs researchers and the honeybee industry of a critical tool for understanding the honeybee population declines. And it comes, the budget cut comes as the USDA is curtailing other similar research programs. The report states this. This is yet another example of the Trump administration systematically undermining federal research on food safety, farm productivity, and the public interests, said Rebecca Bohm, an economist at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Massive cover-up everywhere. You can't find what you're not looking for. Everything from the radiation from Fukushima, when the radiation monitoring stations were all shut down. Now we're shutting down any research to prove what the bees are dying for. If you want to know what the bees are dying for, in addition to RF frequencies, search bees aluminum. Yet again, aluminum implicated in the equation. The bees are dying. Science study proves dying of symptoms that resemble Alzheimer's and dementia in a human being. Why? Because they're packed full of what? Aluminum. Look it up. Bees/aluminum. Do not believe me on anything I report. Please look it up. From strangesounds.org, deadly M5.7 earthquake strikes Iran oil area. Again, still on the theme of microwave-induced seismic activity. I covered that MIT reported the anomalous atmospheric heating directly over the Japanese quake epicenter. Why would Japan be a target for the U.S.? I covered that in a very in-depth article because Japan was allying with its regional partners prior to that time. After that quake, they were right back in the U.S. hip pocket. This article is at geoengineeringwatch.org. There is so much more occurring than what the American public is even remotely aware of. But the target countries are always there. And when nature can be blamed for the catastrophe, it serves the power structure completely. From that report, Iran has been rocked by a massive 5.7 magnitude earthquake on July 8, 2019. The shallow quake also felt in Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and Kuwait, killed at least one person, injured more than 100, devastated buildings and streets, and disrupted water and power infrastructures. Iran, again, bearing the brunt of disaster after disaster. Weather report, completely white skies, as in last, I believe, Tuesday over the North State, Northern California. Featureless white skies and dry as a bone. Since when should that be considered normal? And if you look close enough, you could see the aerosol dispersions occurring in this white toxic mess above our heads. If you live in a quiet area, you can hear these aircraft going over. And we are documenting. We're in the process of documenting every single day now. Every single plane that flies over our area, which plane shows up on Flight Tracker, and filming the planes we can. We are compiling extensive research, all part of our continuing work on legal filings and the documentary that we have just announced. We are working as hard as we can at geoengineeringwatch.org, but we need all the help we can get with sounding the alarm because, again, social media is censoring us. Ultimately, this battle is about a critical mass of awareness, and reaching that critical mass of awareness will require all of us, all of us. Continuing on, from the universityworldnews.com, networks of 7,000 universities declare climate emergency. From that report, networks representing more than 7,000 higher and further education institutions from six continents have announced that they are declaring a, quote, climate emergency and agreed to undertake a three-point plan to address the crisis through their work with students. The expectation is that more than 10,000 institutions of higher and further education will come on board before the end of 2019. The three-point plan will include committing to going carbon neutral by 2030 or 2050 at the very latest, mobilizing more resources for action-oriented climate change research and skill creation, increasing teaching and learning about environmental sustainability and education across curriculum, campuses, community outreach programs. What a completely meaningless effort this is. Completely meaningless by, again, academia that has their head rammed so far in the sand that at this point, their behavior, their lack of willingness to tell the whole truth, must be considered criminal. It is a betrayal of the human race and the entire web of life. I ask those in academia, at what point will you stand up and tell the whole truth? Band together and stand up and tell the whole truth. And I realize the risks that you face, but at what point will you do the right thing? You are already neck deep on the deck of the Titanic. We are out of time. Stand up now and tell the whole truth, and don't give us meaningless actions with dates that are also completely meaningless, because in the current course, none of us will be here when those dates come. Not if we remain on the current course. So, this question, will the so-called progressives save us from biosphere implosion? The short answer is no. Consider this new headline of half-truth and hypocrisy from the New Yorker. Quote, the case for declaring a national climate emergency. From that report, on Tuesday, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Senator Bernie Sanders announced their proposal for a resolution declaring a national climate emergency. Ms. Cortez and Mr. Sanders, where is there any mention of the climate engineering assault, the single biggest part of the equation, not the only part? Not saying that. For those who interpret it that way, please, I'm not saying that. Every form of human activity that's affecting the energy balance of the planet, the health of the planet, the health of the biosphere is a problem. Climate engineering, the greatest single factor in the equation, and those who claim to be environmental champions are simply part of the deception, Cortez and Sanders in that category. I'm sorry, but that's the fact of the matter. And for those on the right side of the fence that might think a criticism of Sanders and Cortez is a wonderful thing, look in the mirror yourself, because you're every bit as much a part of the problem, and your total denial that there's anything wrong with the planet to begin with. Massive denial on every side of the fence. There can be no legitimate discussion about the climate or the state of the climate without discussing climate engineering first and foremost. It must be exposed. It must be stopped, or we're done. This headline was published in the UK Daily Mirror and other sources. Yet another glaring red flag of massive and ongoing climate engineering operations that are utilizing patented processes of chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Here is the headline, quote, hailstones the size of grapefruits batter countries across Europe. This is not nature. This is chemical ice nucleation elements that cause this buildup of ice. Hailstones as big as grapefruits hammered several countries across Europe, causing chaos and damaging thousands of homes and buildings. The fierce hailstorms battered parts of Slovenia, Croatia, Germany, and other countries since Monday, as strong gale force winds brought cold temperatures along with intense rainfall. As I've covered in Geoengineering Watch over and over and over, climate engineers need massive flows of moisture, like what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico right now, that they can chemically ice nucleate, which creates a cold, dense layer of air that descends to the ground, that creates the headlines of cold the climate engineers want in order to pacify the public, confuse and divide the population as to the true state of climate collapse until the brutal, bitter end. Final statement from this report, enormous hailstones were found on roofs, houses were completely destroyed, cars as well, windows and windshields shattered. Videos posted on social media show hailstones the size of tennis balls in other locations, shredding foliage and gardens as they fell to the ground. Now let's move to northern Italy. This report excerpt, hail the size of oranges hit northern Italy, injuring 18 people, including a pregnant woman. Search the engineering winter section at geoengineeringwatch.org. Learn about chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. This is a major part of the climate engineering factor. Again, no legitimate discussion about the climate without discussing climate engineering first. No legitimate discussion about climate engineering without discussing the engineered cooldowns and chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. From KOAA.com on the same theme, this is CBS Wyoming. Softball-size hail pounds Wyoming town. Question, what does it take? Again, not just for meteorologists to stand up and tell the truth, not just for climate scientists to stand up and tell the truth, but for the population to exercise their sense of reason, their sense of memory as to this type of event now being the norm when it should not be. What does it take for us as a society to stand up and recognize the climate engineering elephant in the sky, which is nothing short of weather and biological warfare, nothing short of that? It's an all-out assault on the entire web of life. When will we as a society and our so-called experts, most of all, stand up and acknowledge this issue? The climate engineers have been and are completely disrupting the global hydrological cycle. Deadly flooding, devastating droughts, both are increasingly the norm. Though all forms of human activity, again, that affect the biosphere and energy balance of the planet are a problem, geoengineering is the single most destructive and dangerous factor of all. The climate engineers can and are, again, controlling the hydrological cycle, disrupting it, perhaps a better word, shutting off rain to the U.S. West. Blanket of spraying in the eastern Pacific is absolutely constant. We can see this from satellite imagery. The ionosphere heater, back to the radio frequency microwave manipulation, an ionosphere heater-induced dome of high pressure is diverting the rain around the U.S. West. Same with Alaska, where wildfires are burning massively right now. That's a whole other equation. But this is controlling the flow of precipitation by creating domes of pressure high and low. High pressure spins clockwise in the northern hemisphere. Low pressure spins counterclockwise. And with the utilization of these pressure zones, they can spin the upper level wind currents around these zones and direct it where they want. And that's exactly what's happening. We can speculate on the agendas being carried out. But the fact that climate engineering is the core causal factor of so many disruptions, that is not speculation. On that note, for moisture and precipitation, this new report from waters.news and other sources, quote, NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, states the 12-month precipitation record hits the all-time high again in the U.S. for the third month in a row. So for a 12-month incremental period, 3 months in a row, the previous 12 months were the greatest precipitation of all in the U.S. Not so much in the West, is it, or Alaska. So it's a complete disruption of the hydrological cycle. Protracted drought and biblical deluge. From that report, heavy rainfall during the month of June added to another record-breaking 12 months of precipitation for the contiguous U.S., the third consecutive time in a row. So consider this again, with 12-month all-time high precipitation records in a row, with three of them in a row, and with this headline I just reported in last week's broadcast, which is this: several plain cities are having their coldest start to a year in more than two decades. I reported that last week. So again, stop to consider and connect the dots. The climate engineers need the moisture in order to chemically ice nucleate, in order to create the headlines they want, like the one I just read. Lots of moisture, lots of chemical nucleation, lots of big hail, and coldest start to a new year. All of this is completely connected. So given the reports I've just covered, how does this new report fit into the equation? From the Smithsonian Magazine, this new report of half-truth. Quote, California's drought killed almost 150 million trees. Let's say it like it is. Climate engineering has killed almost 150 million trees. And I'm not denying global warming. Not at all. I'm not denying that we've been horrible stewards of our planet. But those in the, quote, environmental communities that want to blame everything on CO2, that's a half-truth. CO2 is a massive problem. Climate engineering is an even bigger problem. Tell the whole truth. If you're an environmental group or you call yourself an environmentalist, then tell the whole truth, not a half-truth. So the bottom line is, what's cutting off the precipitation to the trees? Climate engineering, from the processes I've just described. What about the heavy metals in the precipitation that are saturating soils, changing soil pHs, killing soil microbes, and affecting root systems? Climate engineering, yet again. So let's call it like it is. Climate engineering just killed 150 million trees. And I know scientists with USDA, Cal Fire, US Forest Service. I don't know any that are willing to tell the truth. Only those that have already retired. They know who they are. We're working with them. They'll be in our coming documentary. The report states the forests were too dense and temperatures were much higher than in previous droughts, exhausting water supplies and leading to mass die-offs. No mention of climate engineering. And again, it's not a matter of the forest being too dense. That was the lies of Ryan Zinke. Ryan Zinke, who made such a claim while in Siberia, where the forests have never been touched and never burnt for hundreds of thousands of years, the burn rate has increased 1,000% in the last 10 years. There's obviously another factor. The forest didn't change. Something else did. I just outlined what that something was. Along the same theme of completely disrupting the hydrological cycle, this headline from Time Magazine: wildfire on Hawaiian island of Maui forces thousands to evacuate. When did we ever hear this when we were children? Those that have been around for a while. We didn't. Now wildfires are an increasing problem on tropical islands. When will the climate engineering elephant in the sky be acknowledged? Where else in the world are forests incinerating? Locations, again, that were not historically prone to massive and constant forest burn downs. Here's some new headlines. Alaska chokes on wildfires as heat waves dry out the Arctic. Another headline from Alaska. Alaskan wildfires surpass 1 million acres burned. That's this year. 550,000 acres on fire in Alaska. Currently, the latest sign of, quote, climate crisis. That's from EcoWatch.com. EcoWatch, tell the whole truth. acknowledge the climate engineering factor, which is cutting off precipitation, destroying the ozone layer, which is frying the trees from the top down and will soon fry us all, by the way, if that destruction continues. Toxic metal in the rains, killing root systems. Acknowledge the whole truth. From KATANews.com, in Washington and Oregon sent about 1,000 firefighters to battle the Alaska wildfires. Again, increasing crisis in Alaska. Wildfires have also been ravaging Siberia. What do the boreal forest incinerations have to do with climate engineering? As I just stated, everything. If you want to know more about the climate engineering wildfire connection, if you care about your future, future of your children, please search the Engineering Wildfires section at the top of the geoengineeringwatch.org homepage. If you examine this entire section and view the massive amount of data within this section, you have a much better understanding of what's happening and why. Moving on to the bottom line factors that will soon determine the reality that we're about to collectively face. From numerous sources, instability in Antarctic ice projected to make sea level rise rapidly. Images of vanishing Arctic ice and mountain glaciers are jarring, but their potential contributions to sea level rise are no match for Antarctica's. Even if receding southern ice is less eye-catching, now a study says that instability hidden within Antarctic ice is likely to accelerate its flow into the ocean and push sea levels up at a more rapid pace than previously expected. Everything much worse than we've been told. That's exactly what we have said at geoengineeringwatch.org for over a decade, and now it's becoming impossible to hide. Why is Antarctica the primary driver of sea level rise? First, there's almost 8 times as much ice in Antarctica, in the Antarctic Ice Sheet, as there is in Greenland, and 50 times as much as all the mountain glaciers in the world. Arctic sea ice melt does not raise sea levels. It's sea ice. It's already displacing water. It's the southern hemisphere ice and Greenland that are the biggest problems. It's not a question of if they melt. They're melting, and it's happening at an unimaginable pace. From Time Magazine, along this theme, this report from yesterday, quote, a glacier the size of Florida is becoming unstable. It has dire implications for global sea levels. From that report, melting ice sheets in the Antarctic, particularly one of the largest and most unstable glaciers in the regions, could significantly accelerate global sea level rise. There's no could, there's no may, there's no might. Can't hide this for much longer. Climate engineering in the attempt to mask what's happening, fueling the overall burn down of the planet. And by the way, when ice is lost off land masses like Greenland and Antarctica, there's a factor called glacial rebound. That land starts to rise up out of the ocean because the weight of the ice is lifted off it, and that further raises sea levels. Thermal expansion, the heating of the oceans, also raises sea levels. All these factors combining. Daytime flooding or non-storm flooding happening now in coastal regions all over the globe is going to get worse quick. And sea level rise is not equal in all locations, by the way, either. There are many factors. Wind, seafloor geography, there's many factors, so keep that in mind. From the LA Times and other sources, the California coast is disappearing under the rising sea. Our choices are grim. Yes, it's happening, and it's going to accelerate. From KOMONews.com, rising sea levels to contribute to more, quote, sunny day floods. I just mentioned that, even around Seattle. That means nothing's going on, but the streets are flooding from the ocean. Why? Because the ocean is rising. Regarding the heating of our planet, here's another new headline report along that theme. This is from the AlaskaNativeNews.com. Heat wave hits Cook Inlet salmon streams. Alaskans suffer through the smoke, haze, and danger of record-breaking heat wave. Alaska salmon are suffering as well. On July 7th, stream temperatures pushed 82 degrees. 82 degrees in a stream in Alaska. Salmon are done on their death throes right now. Another headline. Report shows corporations and Bolsonaro teaming up to destroy the Amazon. Guess who Bolsonaro is a staunch ally of? Mr. Trump. And their policies of environmental destruction to make America great again, or perhaps make Brazil great again by cutting down all of its forests and contributing to the demise of our entire planet, a part of the plan. Please understand what's happening around the globe. I have no political orientation, not left, right, not Democrat, Republican, not conservative, not liberal. All of it is part of the theater. Our planet is dying by the day. Stop focusing on the political theater, please, and focus on the wider horizon. We need everybody at the front line of saving the planet's life support systems, or we're done. Here's a new report from Scientific American. Quote, current administration officials scrubbed the term climate change from press release. No surprise. Cover up everything you can fuel normalcy bias in the population until the brutal, bitter end, which is close on the current course. The dire predictions of a recent USGS, U.S. Geological Survey study on sea level rise were removed from the agency's release because of requests from the current administration. No surprise. From grist.org, this: OPEC head, climate activists are the greatest threat to the oil industry. In other words, people who care. Anyone who cares and who's willing to stand up and tell the truth is a threat to the oil industry. And of course, the medical industrial complex and the military industrial complex. Another headline from grist.org, quote, "What will be left when we're gone? Bones, plastic, and radioactive waste." How true that is. Here's the bottom line. The planet's life support systems are collapsing. Human activity is the cause, with climate engineering at the top of the list. When the environment dies, we will die. From multiple sources, more red flag reports of our dying seas. Again, if the oceans die, we will die. Here's the headline, quote, "The largest algae bloom in history is now off the Florida coast." This report is a grave harbinger of what is to come. Please listen carefully as I connect some dots of the most important and impactful components of the equation we collectively face. Massive and unprecedented algae blooms are suffocating what life is yet left in our oceans. Why is this happening? And we are not being told the truth. I'll connect some of these dots in a moment. First, this excerpt from the report from a publication called Science. On Thursday, research from the University of South Florida used satellite imagery to identify an area they call the Great Atlantic Sargassum Belt as the largest algae bloom in the world. At its peak, traveling its length would be equivalent to flying from LA to New York and back again. Massive, massive dead zones are occurring in our oceans. Another headline from MexicoNewsDaily.com, more disaster headlines on the same theme. Here's the headline, quote, "State declares," Mexican state, "declares emergency over sargassum, citing," quote, "imminent disaster." The headlines continue. We're not seeing them in the U.S., and we are not being told of the ramifications. When the oceans die, we will die. And for those that are tired of hearing me say that, I will continue to sound that alarm. If you don't want to hear it anymore, perhaps you're listening to the wrong radio broadcast. But I will continue to sound this alarm until it is heard, until populations wake up and understand we are literally fighting for our lives. On that note, this new report from last week from commondreams.org and other sources along this same exact theme. Here's the headline, quote, "Completely terrifying. Study warns carbon-saturated oceans headed toward tipping point that could unleash mass extinction." There is no could, there is no may, there is no might. It's here, now. Oceans are completely imploding. Ocean life completely imploding. Atmospheric oxygen content imploding. Atmospheric breathable air column saturated with toxic climate engineering particles being absorbed by an entire web of life. It's here, now. It's not on the horizon. To understand the totality of the threat posed by climate engineering, one must understand some of the bigger elements in the equation. Climate engineering is not just destroying the ozone layer. It's not just disrupting the entire hydrological cycle. It's not just contaminating the entire planet. It is also affecting upper-level wind currents. That affects, in turn, ocean currents. It is contributing to the overall melt-off of the planet. They are able to create short-term toxic cooldowns at the cost of a worsened overall warming. That warming and that melting changes the salinity of oceans in various locations. That in turn also affects ocean currents, such as the thermohaline current. What does thermohaline mean? Thermal, temperature, and haline, salinity, the two elements that power the thermohaline circulation. Ocean circulations that distribute heat around the globe that are part of the Earth's life support systems and that keep the water moving. What happens to stagnant water? It heats and explodes with algae, and that's what's happening in our oceans. It's imperative to understand how many roads lead right back to climate engineering as a core causal factor of our common demise, and it is happening at breakneck speed, and that is not to ignore all the other sources of damage to the planet. I'm not ignoring that, but I'm simply saying we must address this issue first and foremost, and then we must face the rest of the issues. Back to the dying of our seas, on which our lives literally depend. These explosions of algae are fueling hypoxic and anoxic zones in the oceans, low and no oxygen zones. Everything within these zones that is not capable of quickly swimming away dies. There are over 400 large and rapidly growing ocean dead zones around the world. Our seas are dying by the day. Again, when the oceans die, we will die. And as GeoengineeringWatch.org has documented for over a decade, the greatest and most destructive and completely unacknowledged factor in the equation is the global climate engineering assault. Question, how much insanity have the majority of populations so far willingly and unquestioningly accepted? Neurotoxin-filled vaccinations, the toxic industrial waste product fluoride being put into our water, toxic genetically modified frankenfoods, endless bombardments of toxic chemicals from every imaginable direction, ticking time bomb nuclear power plants, Armageddon stockpiles of nuclear weapons, the sea of worsening electrosmog that is already wreaking havoc on human health and the web of life with the 5G assault yet to come. And then there is the climate engineering insanity. Again, mathematically speaking, the most destructive of all human activities, the greatest and most immediate threat we face, short of nuclear cataclysm. But those in power will never willingly acknowledge the suicidal course of the human race, nor will they ever acknowledge their tools of power and deception that have brought us, all of us, to biosphere collapse and to this dark hour. On that note, from counterpunch.org, doubling down, the military, big bankers, and big oil are not in climate denial. They are in control, and they plan to keep it that way. From that report, capitalism, militarism, and imperialism are disastrously intertwined with the fossil fuel economy, a globalized economy predicated on growth at any social or environmental cost. Carbon-dependent international trade, the limitless extraction of natural resources, and a view of citizens as nothing more than consumers cannot be the basis for tackling climate change. Little wonder, then, that the elites have nothing to offer beyond continued militarization and trust in techno-fixes, i.e. climate engineering, although this article will not state that. The ruling class may be an utter failure, but that is not stopping them from taking aggressive action on climate change. Their chief concern, maintaining power, control, and profits at all costs, again, i.e. via climate engineering, a.k.a. weather and biological warfare. That is how they are keeping the status quo. The plan is well underway, and it isn't the, quote, Green New Deal. Just imagine a more extreme version of the world that already exists, where healthcare is rationed, where wealth inequality strangles democracy, where austerity is a weapon of class warfare, where millions die prematurely from toxins in air and water, where war and incarceration is the solution of choice, where people are rounded up in concentration camps, where corporations rule unchallenged, where extreme weather wreaks havoc in an expanding circle of misery. The only new thing about their solution is the stench of fascism that grows ever stronger and ever more odious. According to the bankers, the problem with climate change is that it's, quote, posing significant risks to the prosperity and growth of the global economy, end quote. What they will not say is that the global economy, which demands enormous fossil fuel production and consumption, is posing an extreme risk to the climate and the state of the biosphere. The global shipping and aviation on which peak profit-making depends is like the military-industrial complex, exempt from the Paris Accords, exempt from any responsibility toward the whole, exempt from responsibility of the damage they are doing to the biosphere and on the planet's ability to support life. The bankers, generals, and the politicians are protecting their sources of power. I'm almost out of time. There's much more I could cover, but I don't have the time to cover because this is a live broadcast on the East and West Coasts. But I'll end with this. There's a quote from a Stoic philosopher that I have revered since I was 14 years old. He said this, "The object of life is not to be on the side of the majority, but to escape finding oneself in the ranks of the insane." That is from the Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius. I wish to thank a friend and ally in this battle, Jonathan O'Quinn, who reminded me of this quote, which I have read throughout my life. Henry David Thoreau, another individual and author whose writings I have studied and revered since I was young. He stated this so long ago, quote, "Thank God men cannot fly and lay waste to the sky as well as the earth." Question, what would Thoreau say if he could gaze at our skies at the present time? No matter how late the hour, no matter how dark the horizon, we are not helpless. Those who wield power are not gods. As the proverb states, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. Take that step. Stand up. Make your voice heard. Share credible data from a credible source. Check the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for more instructions on how you can help in this epic battle for the greater good. Make every day count. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.